And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, behold, your King is coming to you. So it turns out our faith is filled with enough contrasts and ironies to delight the mind and the heart for all the time up until Christ's return. And I start with that observation simply because of the contrast between last week and this week in terms of our gospel readings. Last week, as we ended another church year, we heard of King Jesus not reigning or kinging like the kings of this world, but instead doing his kingly work from the cross. For there, crowned with thorns, he, as our king and champion, went to war against sin and death to defeat our ancient enemy. There, from the cross, Jesus, King, vindicated the thief and promised him paradise. And there on the cross, King Jesus granted pardon to us all. He did not look like a king. He was mocked and derided. But the inscription still read, "This is the King of the Jews." And this week we see King Jesus again, beginning the church year as we always do in Advent, with hearing how King Jesus rode to his city on a donkey. And as you try to see King Jesus here in your mind's eye, dressed humbly as a teacher, having no special appearance or beauty to make him noteworthy, riding on that donkey and surrounded by hundreds of people, we don't know the exact number. But as you try to see King Jesus coming to his city, know that here he does what no kings of that time, or of any other time for that matter, he does what no kings do. He comes in humility. He comes without power. He comes to those of low estate, and he comes to do the will of another. And this is worth our consideration. For in spite of the Advent season's traditional focus on preparing for Jesus' glorious coming at the last day, and the practical focus of Advent as a time to prepare to celebrate how Jesus first came to us born at Bethlehem, in spite of all that, Advent is also a time to consider how Jesus comes to us now. For King Jesus ever and always comes to us, just as he came to Jerusalem. And that means that we need to receive him, lest we miss the time of our visitation. And it turns out, he still does among us what earthly kings do not do, even as he rides to us in his word and visits us in the sacraments. So first, he comes to us in humility. Most of you are familiar with humility, with being humble, even if we aren't very humble ourselves. In general, to be humble is the opposite of being grand and proud. The proud, they want you to know how great they are, and they'll show you, or at the very least tell you about it. The grand seek to impress you with the displays of wealth and power and influence. And that's what worldly or earthly kings do. They want everyone to know about their power, their greatness. After all, a humble king is hardly a king at all. And yet, King Jesus comes to us in humility. He was born into our flesh. He did not demand honor. He did not coerce obedience. He did not amass wealth. And so when he came to Jerusalem, he had nothing to show but himself, the humble donkey rider, come to his people to give them life, to give them his life. And so today in the church, Jesus, King Jesus, doesn't come to us in grandeur. He doesn't come to us with lightning and thunder, with fire, with glorious visions. He simply rides in on his word. You can listen to it or not. You can believe it or not. But it is a word of life, of power, of grace. And yet it looks so ordinary, sounds so ordinary. It can be heard in magnificent cathedrals and in the broken slums of the poor. But it is the same word in both places. It can take on the trappings of artful rhetoric or be found in the broken grammar of the poorly educated and still be as sweet. King Jesus, the humble king, isn't concerned with this world's ideas of status. He comes to be heard by all and will come by whatever way he can. For in humility, he comes not for himself, but for those to whom he comes. And he comes to us without power. Now, power, as this world knows it, consists of making others bend to your will. Power can be financial, the ability to economically reward or punish as one pleases. Power can be physical, the strength to make others do as you please. It can be emotional, the ability to threaten or to grace others with feelings, good or ill, depending on their response to your demands. The world knows all about power, and earthly kings, in order to remain kings, must have power. No one listens to a powerless king. And yet King Jesus comes without power, at least as the world understands it. In fact, worldly or earthly power has nothing to do with Jesus. Whenever the church has given in to the temptation to try and use worldly power to force people into the church, it has always forced them into a false church with a false Jesus. Jesus has nothing to do with worldly power. And so on his donkey, riding into Jerusalem, he had no armies, he had no strength, he had no money, just himself. And so today in the church, we just have Jesus coming to us in love. He gives us his word. He sacrificed himself for us. He forgives us. And he judges no one. He forces nothing. Oddly, he doesn't even demand anything, at least not as we think of demands. He simply comes with his gifts, with his life, with his grace. And he lets himself be received or rejected without the threat of fire. He is a very curious king indeed. And he comes to those of low estate. And this, again, is not about the world's understanding of status, for Jesus comes to the high and mighty of the world just as he comes to the poor and downtrodden. Status doesn't matter to King Jesus. The humble and the powerless donkey rider, he'll talk as readily with the craven coward as he will with the selfless hero. He will sit down with the vicious criminal as readily as with the pious churchgoer. He comes to all. And most importantly, he comes to us. As sinners, rebels, the lost, the dead. And the kings of this world don't do that. Kings expect those of lower status to come to them, but not King Jesus. And it turns out you and I couldn't get any lower. We were born spiritually dead, and dead things can't go anywhere. So King Jesus comes to us in our spiritual poverty, our death, our hatred, our lust, our anger, our envy, our greed, our laziness. He comes to us to lift us up, to restore us, renew us. He does that by placing himself beneath us. He takes the lowest place and then hefts us up in love and mercy so that we can know him, his love and his peace. Without power, in humility, he comes to us here and now with his word, and he declares us forgiven and beloved. He comes to us with the sacraments to give us new birth, to wash us, to feed us, to make us whole. Behold, your king comes to you. And he comes to do the will of another. Again, unlike the kings of this world's kings are all about doing what they want and making other people and nations bend to their will. Not so King Jesus. Time and time again he said, I've not come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And why does that matter? Because King Jesus is not here to glorify himself or sell you on his program. He's not here to get you to sign on with his agenda. He's here, sent by the Father, to redeem you according to the Father's will and purpose. Which means that everything you see in Jesus is not finally about him, but about the Father. Everything you hear from Jesus is not finally about him, but about the Father. Everything that you receive from Jesus is not finally his, but the Father's. The Father so loves you that he sent King Jesus to you. The Father wants you back. He wants you to have life. He wants you to eat and drink with him in his kingdom. He wants you to know his love and grace. He wants communion with you and all people. So he sent King Jesus. And King Jesus comes to you to do the Father's will so that in Christ you have life and have it abundantly. Here in this gathering, King Jesus comes to you like no other king. In humility, without power, to you who are of low estate, to do the Father's will, to which we can only respond, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes to you, your King, in the word, in baptism, in the words of absolution, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He comes to forgive and give you life. So greet your King, my dear friends. Rejoice, for he is righteous and having salvation, and receive him. For behold, your King comes to you. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.